If you've ever gone for a long walk in the woods, and many of us have, you're aware of the soothing power of nature. Now there's a way to bring that feeling to work with you. It's called biophilia, the idea of connecting employees directly to nature, even while they're at work. But how do you implement biophilic design in a practical way? In part one of our special report, The Federal Office of the Future, I spoke with Bill Browning, a partner at the sustainability consulting firm Terraprin Bright Green. He explained more about the current trends in biophilic design.
The latest conversation and innovation around worker productivity and well-being is focused on a topic called biophilia, or biophilic design, which is literally connecting people with nature. And the research to support that comes from healthcare, comes from schools, comes from offices, comes from factories, and looking at the psychological and physiological benefits of people having experiences of nature in the built environment. This can be done with visual connections to nature, so bringing nature into the space with plants, animals, or daylight and natural ventilation. So having experiences of nature in the built environment, natural analogs, which are patterns and forms that replicate things that occur within nature, use of certain fractals and use of natural materials. Or the third category would be the nature of the space itself, which is three-dimensional experiences or configurations of space that mimic experiences that people have in the natural environment to elicit certain psychological and physiological responses. We've identified 14 patterns within these topics and have written about that, and it's on our website, Terraprin Bright Green. There are a number of organizations who are looking at this topic in depth. There's a lot of work going on within the GSA around the topic of biophilia, and in fact, one of the best researchers on the topic in the country actually works with GSA in the Office of High Performance Green Buildings, Judith Heerwagen. And so one of their experiments has been recently looking at impact of exposure to daylight in an open office plan and its impact on sleep patterns of the employees. And what they're seeing is that even if you have a very well daylit open plan, if you put up high partitions within the space and people don't get direct visual contact to the sky plane and to daylight, their sleep patterns aren't as good as those spaces in which you have low partitions or no partitions and direct exposure to the daylight. So those folks have much better circadian patterns and much better sleep than those folks in the cubicle farm.
Is there anything you can do with artificial lighting if you have a large interior space and everyone can't be near a window?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on daylight transport, of bouncing daylight deeper into larger floor plates. There are new refractive films that will bounce it sometimes 40 feet or more into a core along the ceiling plane, so you're getting better daylight bounce into the space. There is work going on what's called circadian lighting, lighting which mimics the changes in daylight color as you progress through the day. Daylight's not the same color all day long. It's yellow in the morning, shifts to blue at midday, and then becomes redder in the afternoon. And as that shifts happen, you see changes in body temperature, you see changes in heart rate and blood pressure, and you also see changes in the balance between serotonin and melatonin in the body.
So are there lighting systems that can mimic that throughout the day that you can put in?
Yeah, the newer LED lighting systems are capable of partially mimicking that. They're not complete replications of the quality of daylight, but they are getting better at that, and a lot of the manufacturers are doing experiments in that, and there's a lot of study going on around that topic. And one of the lessons that we've learned is that, you know, the bluish light that you get in midday is not a light you actually want to get at night, because it really will screw up your serotonin-melatonin balance and make it much harder to sleep. So match the color of light to the time of day. And, you know, we just got lucky in that most of our early electrical lighting systems were in the red shift, which mimicked the light that you get in late day and late afternoon and evening.
And if you have a limited budget, as many federal agencies do, a lot of large organizations do, what can you do in terms of colors and paints and surfaces if you can't really swing some of the stone and natural materials that might be more expensive to install?
Well, what we're seeing is that even artwork, posters and artwork that has natural scenes has a beneficial effect. You know, the best is to, if you possible, get a view out a window where you can see at least some trees and see the movement of the leaves and see the trees and plants outside. If you can't do that, a substitute, although it does not have as strong a psychological and physiological impact, is to have paintings, posters, or video displays of scenes of nature. And that has an impact as well, but not the body doesn't respond as strongly to that as it does to actual views of nature.
We're speaking with Bill Browning. He's a partner at Terrapin Bright Green. And what about animals? You mentioned those as something that can help productivity. That seems like a stretch for a lot of organizations.
Yeah, although we are seeing more organizations allowing dogs into the workplace, but you know, the classic example would be the aquarium in your dentist's office lobby. And that has an amazing calming effect. Watching those fish swim around definitely lowers the stress level on the body.
What are some other interior types of things that people can do? What about choices of colors for walls or ceilings?
Well, for walls and ceilings, you want colors that are actually going to be fairly reflective of daylight. So light ceilings overhead, and if you're bouncing light onto the ceiling plane, the mind perceives the ceiling as being higher, an analog of the sky. And then on the walls, you want fairly reflective colors as well. We're seeing carpet patterns, though, that are emerging that are mimicking, without replicating, the sorts of patterns and textures and colorways that you see in nature itself. So that's one place where fairly inexpensively you can mimic nature. Artwork, of course, on walls that mimics nature is beneficial as well. Having some plants in the space is beneficial, although what we're learning is that it's better to have, rather than one plant here, one plant there, which is helpful, more impactful is if you have, say, a cluster of several plants of a mixture of species together in one place. And if that can be someplace that is large enough that you can see it across the room, when you're an observer, your brain shifts to a lower cognitive function so that when you then look back, you have better capacity for applied attention, better cognitive function after you've had that experience of just looking at nature. And all it takes is about 40 seconds for that experience. Also, if you're stuck looking on a computer screen all day long, and that's in the short visual focus where your lens is rounded and all the muscles in the eye are contracted, over time, that gets very stressful and results in muscular fatigue. So if I can distract you every 20 minutes or so and get you to look up for a few seconds at a scene of nature, something that is more than 20 feet away, preferably as much as 100 feet away, that will relax muscles in the eye. And if I can get you to look at it from 40 seconds or more, that will also help shift the cognitive function in the brain as well.